I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. This week, we'll be talking about herbs, or herbs, as my American colleagues drop their H's, with a legend in horticulture, an award-winning organic gardener. It's Jekka McVicar. Great weather this week. I make no apologies of referring to the weather yet again. Really lovely day on Tuesday, sunshine and warm. Boy, and things are on the move. Daffodils making a magnificent show in the southern half of England. I was interested too to hear that Nicholas Marshall has become managing director of the garden centre chain Dobbies. Now, Nicholas, of course, was the Country Gardens man a long time ago, and then, of course, was boss at Wyvale, and now he's going into Dobbies. I expect to see a big improvement in plants there because he's a great plant enthusiast, and he was very good with staff too. He could stimulate people to get cracking and do a good job. So I'll be interested to see what happens to Nicholas. I have a bit of a problem with Narcissus tater-tate. We were growing them for Mothering Sunday for several schools. I had 600 of them in pots at two schools fairly close to home. And I'm afraid with the warm weather, they've come out a bit early. So we had to do our best and issue them on St. David's Day. That seemed like the appropriate thing. So Mothering Sunday came early to some of our schools. So what about this start to the season? If you can put a piece of clear polythene over a piece of dug soil, or even a bottomless box with a sheet of glass over it, it's surprising how quickly the soil will warm up. And of course, once it has started to warm, then we can start sowing and planting. There are some crops, like parsnip, for example, that are a bit tricky to germinate, and yet they'll get much bigger roots if they have a good long growing season. And so one possibility is to get one of those spread containers, put a little bit of white kitchen paper towel in the bottom, make it damp, and then scatter the parsnip seed over it, keep it indoors warm, but watch it very carefully, and as soon as you see a little tiny root coming from the seed, then you can take them outside and sow it in some soil which has had a bit of cover, just to warm it up. The interesting thing about seeds, particularly the hardier vegetable kinds, is that once they start to grow, once they're what we call chitted and the roots just on the move, they keep going. If you sow them straight from the packet into cold, damp soil, then they'll often just sit there and rot. So why don't give your parsnips a bit of a flying start by chitting them into some sort of growth. You can do much the same with the early peas. They'll need a slightly bigger container, and you need to pick one of what we call the round-seeded varieties. That's garden peas like Meteor or Feltham First. They're tougher. They'll put up with cold conditions and won't get diseases quite so quickly. But if you do, chit those so they just start to grow, and then space them out about an inch, inch and a half down the row into the garden. Well, they'll be up and away in no time at all. You know, it's funny. Everyone gets excited when they sow their first few seeds and see them coming through the soil. And it's a pleasure and excitement that you never lose. I'm still looking very carefully every few days as soon as I've sown something just to see it coming through. And don't forget, if you've sown very fine seed like lobelia perhaps or begonia on the surface of a pan or a pot and you're germinating it indoors and you want to see whether they're growing or not, Hold them up at eye level. Look across the surface. Then you'll see those shoots. As soon as they start to emerge, little white upturned U's. And once you do get that first sign of growth, then the indoor seedlings need to be put somewhere really light. They want all the daylight you can give them at this time of the year. When it comes to covering the ground outside, you'll sometimes read or hear that black polythene's a good thing to cover the ground. I'm still not quite sure. Black absorbs heat, so if you've got a black cover, then it does warm things immediately beneath the plastic. But it's my view that if you get some wire hoops or some plastic tubing that can be bent in a semicircle, push that into the ground and put clear plastic over it, then you warm the air within the cover. Actually, if you've got a friendly carpet retailer or somebody who's just had a mattress delivered, it comes with a really big piece of thick polythene, and that's just the job to put over these hoops, tied at each end tightly. And then, of course, within a few days, you can sow all kinds of hardy vegetables, lettuce, cabbage, radish, onions, under those warm conditions, and they'll be up in no time. My guest today is the Queen of Herbs, Jacko McVicar. Jacko, a rather special week this, isn't it? I couldn't have been more pleased to see your name on the list of Victorian Medal of Honour winners.
Peter, it has been the most amazing week. I know people use that word a lot, but it really has. It's been exciting, it's been humbling, it's been so full of pride, sharing it with my family. It's just been amazing. And then people taking the time to write me a card.
Jacko, you've earned that without question. And wouldn't it be great to see your name alongside Veitch and Laxton and Bunyard and Hillier and all
and
those
Bowles,
great names.
And Gertrude Jekyll and Beth Chatto, Penelope Hobhouse. Yes, absolutely fantastic.
And you've certainly earned it. But how did you get into herbs?
Well, I got into herbs. I come from a really quite a long historical horticultural family, and I was definitely not going into plants because they all spoke Latin and I'm totally dyslexic and I can't pronounce things well as not write them well. So what happened was I was a cook and I had a young family and I'd worked on a herb farm and my mother had always used herbs and I could chop and get the herbs for the garden for the kitchen, you know, for mum, and tell the difference between spearmint and apple mint very quickly. And so I loved it. I loved growing something that then contributed to the meal. I was sent away to school and I had an allotment at school. And I used to bring home all, with pride, all my treasures that I'd grown for mum to have at home. And so that was part of it. And then when I moved into Bristol and I had a tiny back garden, a girlfriend wanted herbs for an Elizabeth David recipe. And she wanted French tarragon. Well, over 30 years ago, you couldn't buy it anywhere. So what happened was I trotted out to the garden, gave her a handful, and said, you know, off you go, help yourself. And then I thought, gosh, no one grows that. And I had a one-year-old and a two-year-old. I thought, I could do that from home. And my poor darling husband was away in space. He worked with satellites. And I landed up literally turning the whole house into a nursery of both kinds, children and plants. I had taken the wardrobe, dismantled it and put it outside in the back garden and turned that into cold frames. And he had a hanger for his clothes when he came back. And I bought the local veg man's van. And my first big customer was Fortnum & Mason's.
Goodness gracious. They say that you should aim for the top, but you went straight there.
Well, you see, over 30 years ago, you couldn't buy herbs anywhere. Elizabeth David really, you know, caught the imagination of cooks.
Yeah.
And Delia Smith was on the horizon, and she was just breaking through at that time. Coriander, bless her cotton socks. Do you know, I potted thousands of coriander because I very quickly picked up some garden centres. And I couldn't stand the smell on my skin, on my hands. It's really quite pungent. And it's only recently that I've been able to eat coriander.
That's an amazing story. But, I mean, you're still hobnobbing with the best of them, aren't you? Isn't my compatriot Jamie Oliver, isn't he bit of a Jekka fan?
I'm a huge fan of his. He is fantastic. He really is Jamie. He's the same on, off the screen. He's absolutely brilliant family man. And he's so imaginative. I did his garden for 10 years.
What do you mean you did his garden?
Well, when he moved, when he got his first house in Essex, I helped him with his garden and I created a herb garden for him in the front of the house.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
That was the only patch he had. And then I did his vegetable garden, which was featured in his at-home series. And then I did him a wild garden, wild herb garden, which was also featured in that series. He was absolutely fantastic. Well, we're back in touch again. You know, because he's such a busy chap, it's really difficult at times, you know, to keep up with him.
Yeah, well, he's doing a lot of good work with young people, isn't he, with the
wonderful
15.
I'll never forget his schools programme. I'll never forget him recording that. I'll never forget his brilliant 15. And I've had 12 years of his students coming here. They'd come down from London and they went to different, you know, parts. They went to a pig man and they came to me. And I taught them about herbs and got them to taste all the different varieties.
Yes, I went into 15 with a new cabbage called Cab Ice that tastes like iceberg lettuce.
Really?
And Jamie had all of his young chefs lined up, you know, behind the counter, all tasting this Cab Ice.
Yeah, he would. He was just brilliant at that.
Yeah. But now you've got a really exciting project coming up in Malvern, haven't you?
Yes. It's really interesting. So I started the business as a wholesale nursery. I've always been organic. I then had a hot summer and I couldn't sell my plants wholesale. And it was Noel Kingsbury who told me to go off and exhibit at the RHS. Now, coming from the horticultural background, to go to the RHS was like, wow, you just don't turn up there. Anyway, I did it. Then, last year, I've always wanted to do a show garden. I wanted to show how beautiful herbs are in a garden because they look good, smell good and do you good. I mean, they're totally useful, especially if you have a small space, and they're wonderful with children. Anyway, so I did that garden and now I've got inundated with people realising I do gardens. And one of those was Malvern. I was at a meeting and they said, oh, we really want to convert this area and make it smarter. And I said, well, why don't you have a health and wellbeing garden? Because you've got Pathways there, which is this wonderful charity with adults. And then you've got children, you know, all the school children around who could then use that facility. And so it would be a permanent garden in the Three Crowns showground, which to me is magical because it's the most beautiful site. But quite a lot of the time, nothing happens there. So to actually have the community coming in to the site to use a garden is tremendous. And then on show days, Pathways will be able to sell produce from the garden to raise money so that they could have outings or more equipment. And the school children will be able to help serve and they hopefully be, you know, make herb teas for people. And with children and herbs, it's lovely because you have the history, you have the geography, you have the old traditional wives' tales uses. And Peter, did you go on nature walks when you were a child?
Not organised nature walks.
My school took me on nature walks.
No, nothing like that. I was brought up on a farm and, of course, from dawn till dusk, we were always out in the fields and hedgerows things.
Yeah. So you got to all that by osmosis, if you like. Whereas I was taken on little nature walks. I came from a country village, but we were taken on nature walks. So I was taught to eat hawthorn. And it was called bread and cheese.
Yes, we used to do that on the way to school.
Yeah.
Pick a little bit of bread and cheese, yes.
Exactly. So, but you and I both know that. Now, the young today don't know that. And what's so fantastic is it's now been scientifically proven that it actually strengthens the heart muscles. Isn't that fantastic?
It is.
So no wonder you've got such a strong heart.
I thought it was the digging. You
know? No, it's from eating bread and cheese when you were young.
I mean, my health editor has sent me 3 emails in the last week from all kinds of organisations, suddenly come aware of the fact that gardening is good for your health.
Yeah, well, we could all tell them that. It's going outside, it's breathing, it's actually being inspired. I am so grateful for falling in love with plants, and I never cease to learn. And that's the great thing about creating a garden, is you pass on that passion. I'm going to label the plants so people can have a little laugh as they go around, because I'll give them the botanical name and the English name and then usage. And when I have school children here and they say, but the Latin name's so difficult, and I said, well, yes, this one here is called Silybum. And then, yeah, I've got them hooked after that, haven't I?
I bet the teachers bless you for that one.
Yeah, but, you know, and they go home and say, we saw Silybum Maritime. You know, it's so exciting.
You need to find an angle, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll never forget the very first group I had here. My children grew up on this farm, and Alistair started school from here. And we had a school party out from his school to here. And I grow a tiny leaf sorrel called Buckler leaf sorrel. And I gave one of the boys this, and I said, try that. I said, it's like Granny Smith apples. And he tried it, and he went, oh, that's so good. So he gave it to his friend. His friend then gave it to his friend. And it was wonderful. You've got them all going, gosh, that's amazing. So then I got a little nasturtium leaf. And I said, now this one's peppery. You know, and that was it. He thought that was a big joke, you know, and he was getting around giving it to the girls.
Do you know, I had a group of 8 children with salad leaves in a greenhouse yesterday afternoon, mm-hmm. and they were eating radicchio.
Lovely.
And mustard. Yeah, some of them spat it out immediately, but they'll remember salad leaves, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but you see, radicchio is bitter. It's not as bitter as it was when we were growing up, but it is a bitter herb, and bitter herbs are really good for your saliva, getting your mouth working, getting that mouth-watering sensation.
I so needed you there to tell these people. I didn't have that background, Jacka.
Yeah, and it's also really good for your liver. Your liver is like the washing machine of your body, and it helps break down things so you can detoxify yourself quicker.
Jacka, I hope that I can get up to those lovely Malvern Hills and see your herb garden. What is the date? It's early in May, isn't
it? It's early May. Now, Thursday the 11th to Sunday the 14th.
If you do have a query for us and you want to drop us a line, then the address is Sun Gardening, 1 London Bridge Street, London, Southeast 1 9 GF. And if you didn't get that written down, don't worry, it's on the bottom of the page of our gardening spread every Saturday in the TV magazine. Harry Lim, he gets in touch from Normanton in West Yorkshire, and he's got a really big bed, 20 foot long, 5 foot wide, full of hydrangeas, and wants to know about pruning. You know, it's a bit of a game, because they get quite big, don't they, in a border like that. And if you prune them hard now, the mop head kinds, if you're not careful, you cut all next summer's flowers off. And so it's what we call the one-third job. You cut about one-third of the old branches right out. And if it's hanging out over a path, the hydrangea, well, then do those first. All those rather long, lanky branches hanging over, making you wet when the weather's rainy, cut those really hard back, about a third of them. And then when they grow, they provide some quite strong shoots that help support the rather lanky branches behind. And then over the next 2 years, you'll need to keep cutting out another third. And after 3 years, the whole thing will be completely rejuvenated. I've got one humorous letter too here. Comes from Cole Shorten in Surrey. Dear Peter, enclosed are the seeds of one half of a grapefruit. And they were, I tell you. They were in tissue paper, all dripping and smelly, coming out of the envelope. The other half didn't have any. Is this a record? I've never seen so many pips in one single fruit, so I thought I'd send them to you. as I haven't the room or conditions to plant so many. So there you are, another one of these cautious gardeners who doesn't even throw the pips away from the grapefruit. You can subscribe to the Sun Gardening newsletter at sungardening.co.uk. And you can subscribe to the podcast by pressing the subscribe button on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.